Hello and welcome to another huge edition of All In. Of course, it's Cox Plate Week, and I cannot wait. We head to the Valley Friday night. That's where our focus turns. Anyway, we certainly won't be heading there. Well, I won't. Lewis Willoughby, will you be heading down to the Valley on Friday?
No, I won't be there. I'll be in Sky One, and then I'm heading to Menangle on Saturday night.
Oh,
What a thrill that'll be.
close.
So hopefully,
Close.
hopefully I don't do me backside on the punt Saturday, because that'll turn into a very, very long 24 hours. But it'll be good fun actually out there at Menangle. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, well, how do you top last weekend? You know, we're 48 hours off the back of it, less than, and we've got to get stuck into another Saturday of racing in the Cox Plate, one of Melbourne's great races coming up. So plenty happening. Spring Champion Group One in Sydney as well. We've got a lift if you had a winning weekend or not, I think, to try and find some more.
Got to find a way, don't we, Dino? DeanWatling.com?
Yeah, you do. It's sort of like we got off the bike leg in a triathlon. Now you got to do the run. So
oh,
I was meant to head down there,
on
boys,
cast.
But I might be not heading down there anymore. I think I need a quiet weekend at home. So it was a hard weekend. If you found a win, if you come in front, props to you, because I found it very, very tricky. Probably pulled the wrong rein, a lot of placings. But we go again, Cox Plate, plenty of races around. It shapes to be a great clash, plenty to take out of the weekend. But yep, keen to get back into it with you guys.
Louis, full credit, Bellini Patina, well done. My Oberon. Yeah, so we managed to steer the punters into a few winners. We're going to go again. We're heading down south, Cox Plate, Moonee Valley. How do you expect this track to play, Louis?
I had a look. There's not a whole lot of rain forecast, so that's a good thing. Should be on a pretty good racing surface. And as always, just with the way the valley goes, you want to be either on speed or certainly building great momentum into the turn. It's much easier to win from the top four when you enter the straight than the last four, that's for certain. But small fields can make it tricky. And pace, especially this Cox Plate, which we'll see, is not a whole lot of horses going around in it. So it's going to be a real little tactical affair, which I can't wait to touch on.
Suggestion of a six-horse field, maybe seven. More likely six. Prognosis, $3. Protogeny, $4.50. V. Sistina, $4.50. Odds courtesy of Tab, of course. Broadsiding, $6. Mr. Brightside, $9. Docklands, $13. And the one runner that may be there is Kovalika, I believe, Royal Patronage. They've now put a pen through it, but that might be another one. So either one of those, G Hall was reporting this morning, Dino. Well, firstly, before we take a deep dive into the race, what's your thought on the six-horse Cox Plate? Disappointing, or do you love it?
No, I love it. I think where it becomes disappointing is in the sense of if you're probably not a Protogeny fan. I think if anything, you want a bigger field like we saw in the King Charles, where you potentially have a horse that can help take the field up. I thought if Royal Patronage was there, that would have helped that. But if it's out, it's advantage Jenny over that. You look at the horses we touched on, I think that's more so the issue. But as a punter, you want the best horses in the race, and the last thing you want is a horse that's not meant to be there, fall back in your lap and cost you. So I think that's what the Cox Plate's renowned for. But if there's only six good horses, there's no point just filling the void with horses that aren't up to it, to be honest. So that's, yeah. Lou, any opinion?
Yep, I'm with you. Like, obviously, I'd love to see a bigger field, but at least if it is this small field, it's jam-packed with proper quality. Maybe the only ones missing could be Fangirl and Chowwolf from our top line distance, like 2,000-meter distance horses.
You could throw in Evaporate as well into that list there, Louis. Just the horse that sort of beat Broadsiding Home in the Guineas.
Yep.
$1 million bonus if it wins the Carbine and then goes to a slot race in New Zealand and wins out or something like that.
So that's obvious choices for it. So, no, it's going to be a good race.
Yeah, going to be a good race. Righto, Dano, kick us off. Cox Plate 2024. Give us your tips and well, a bit of a chat about some runners as we go.
Yep, like I mentioned, if Royal Patronage isn't there, it's advantage Protogeny. We saw a win two back in Fernhill, I think it was, and then it's tricky. You go to Sydney last start, King Charles, back 400 metres to probably the fairest track you can have if you want to be a back marker. Taken on early by a Major Boo who ends up 15 lengths last, and Jenny sticks on, only beaten by, well, we don't even know how good he is, Chow Wolf, to be honest. Since he's been gelded, you get rid of his first up run, and he is 3 from 3 this preparation. He's going so, so well. So I think it's advantage here, a tight turning track, no real speed around it, back to 2,000 metres. I'm trying to think what's going to cart him up. Broadsiding's probably the only one with tactical speed, but it's not typical of that stable to sort of change tactics that much. The dangers are terrific horses, but she's going to be so far out in front. So I think it's advantage Protogeny. I don't know how she's not favouring this. I know Prognosis is a terrific horse, but he does have barrier tendencies and can get a little bit further back. So for me, I'm quite keen on Prodigy. I think she wins the Cox Plate this year, and Kieran Maher just has another group one to the name. Louis?
Another one.
Yeah, just another one for the Battlers, who won both big races. But to be fair, we've got to remember that Kieran Maher, he started where every other trainer starts and grafted his way up, and he's clearly just making use of everything available to him from the start to now, and deserves all the success that he's getting. I'm surprised. What was that Fian run over that she won back at the Valley, guys? It was,
I think it was a mile. It was
2000.
Yes. No, I'm sure it was 1600 meters. So my point was going to be that she is racing, and I'm just kind of looking at it on the fly while I'm talking to you guys. She's racing like a horse who is desperate to get back to 2000 meters. And yet I think all four runs this preparation have been over a mile. So on the weekend, led them up, not probably, like, you listen to Declan Bates post-race, just wasn't able to steal that gap that he likes to steal on a Pride of Jetty on the field. At the top of the straight, they got within two lengths of her. She looked like she was dead set going to run out and finish last, and she's managed to stick on really well to finish second. Back to this 2040 trip of the Cox Plate, it is so up her alley now, fit, quick backup. And as you mentioned, Dino, Prognosis, who's probably the class horse, but it is just so risky at the barriers. And if he flops out like he did against Romantic Warrior in the QE2 Cup at Sha Tin, he's a mile off Pride of Jenny, and that is huge alarm bells. You see it with Fangirl, see it with a few others. If you're giving this mare a big start, you're in massive trouble, and especially around the Valley. So obviously Prognosis, that was a huge run when finishing second Romantic Warrior, but I can't see why one's $3 and one's $4.50. I think maybe equal favourites at best. So the bet becomes Pride of Jenny, and I think the other bet becomes Via Sistina, who was huge in a Turnbull. Buckaroos franked that form, second in a Caulfield Cup. Dry ground is perfect. I think if J-Mac had his time again in that Queen Elizabeth here in Sydney, he's never that far off her when Pride of Jenny wins. So maybe a little bit of pilot error there. Sits midfield, and J-Mac learns his lesson now. He will not let Pride of Jenny get too far in front. He must be desperate for that 100th Group 1. It's been weeks and weeks in the making through fault of his own or not. And I just think this is the chance to try and get it in a Cox Plate and not let Pride of Jenny get too far in front. Just quickly on Docklands, guys, who's another one in the race from overseas. I was taking a look through his form this morning. I mean, he's finished behind City of Troy at his latest start. That is hot European form. But that was a first time 2,000 metres. I'm not entirely sure how well he saw it out. He's done most, if not all, of his racing over 1,600 where he looks best. So maybe this 2,000 metres with a tearaway leader is a little concern for Docklands, but obviously you have to respect the Europeans. But yeah, at this stage, I'd be pretty keen to have a two-bet play, Pride of Jenny and Via Sistina, and just see what they do with the price on Prognosis.
Talk to the race a little bit here, lads. So the suggestion would be that Docklands first or like second time 2,000 metres, but I'm assuming the horse has a little bit of early speed. Louis, I haven't gone through and taken a deep dive.
So it doesn't have the greatest of speed. It's normally a midfield, behind midfield horse, right. At least it was in its latest two starts. But it's certainly no Prognosis flop out the back kind of stuff. But I also heard that they've been working with Julian Welsh on getting Prognosis as banner marriers better.
So, and I believe that like the Prognosis is the type of horse that just runs fast section or similar to Pride of Jenny in whilst it's moving. Obviously, probably doesn't have that early go, but it's interesting. So we saw Pride of Jenny; she was slow out. I'm not sure if you guys caught the overhead sort of footage of her jumping on Saturday, but she was slow. She was probably half a length out, and it did take a little while to muster. So I wonder if she repeats that at the Valley on Saturday again. Now she's going to lead the race, there's no doubt about it. But does that just allow horses like Mr. Brightside and Prognosis to be closer this time? If Mr. Brightside was able to lead them up, I guess, or lead the group up to Pride of Jenny over the mile and the Fiend, do you think that there's a chance that he can do that over the 2040, or is that his limit and they don't want to do that, Louis?
I think no one wants to be the one carting the field up to Pride of Jenny, right? And I don't think Mr. Brightside would want to do that job either. I think if anyone's going to try and do it that could do it successfully, it would probably be Via Sistina, who's fit and strong over that trip and we'll have a man in the saddle who wants to keep a good eye on how far Prodigy gets in front. That's the way I see it playing out anyway. Dino, have you got a thought on that?
Yeah, well, he gets 2,000, but I wouldn't say he gets anything past it. So I think the last thing you want to do is probably ride him close enough that he could potentially blow up. That would be my query. You know, I'd probably lean the way of Lou. The other one that could maybe do it, I haven't seen in the noms yet, but I'm just thinking on the weekend, Ilias failed 2,400 metres. I could see it potentially dropping back to the 2,000s for a Cox plate. That would help a lot of horses out now that Royal Patronage from Waterhouse and Bot isn't going there. Obviously, he ran third between VR and Buckaroo in the Turnbull, which reads well. So,
good shout.
Yeah, that's what, I think if you're Tony, you'd probably be going, no, please don't nominate. But if you're the rest of the field, that you'd be absolutely praying because I'm... Broadsiding is the one, like we've seen three-year-olds, I don't know if you remember, I'm trying to think of the horse's name off the top of my head, it's a stallion now, Richard
Famous
Litt trained
award.
No, Richard Litt trained
Castel it. Richard Litt. Isn't
it? Yeah, Castelvecchio, so it was a back marker, and then it went to Cox Plate, and they rode it a little bit closer, it was just purely on the weights, so we might see broadsiding, but yeah, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, I think something will throw in a late nomination for sure, because... Yeah, I'm trying to think what's going to help him. I just can't think Mr. Brightside can. I just think he blows himself up, you know?
Yeah. Just wish there was like a three-year-old that could run 2,000 metres that sat on speed. But anyway, is what it is. I'm going to lean the way of Broadsiding to bounce back in a big way, just purely at the weights. And at this stage, I think Pride of Jenny could easily win the race. So there's no knock on what you guys are saying. But I just don't think there's any... edge in this market at the moment, so let's wait to see if Barry draws. I'll lean the side of way of Broadside and bounce back. I think via Sistina, I think J Mac will most definitely be aggressive. He has to be. There's no point going around for third. And I think, you know, all the talks that this horse might even get to a Melbourne Cup. And if you have a look at the betting markets, she's been very well backed. So she'll have no issues running out of strong 2040 meters. Right at Broadsiding for me, V16 second, Pride of Jenny third, lads. Simple as that. McEwen Stakes, Louis, you were very keen on this race. You wanted to find us a winner. I'll give you a market. Barrack Hill, $4.50. Oscar's Fortune, $5. A Little Deep, $6. Recommendation, $6. Johnny Rocker, $8. Mornington Glory, $8. And longer the rest.
Yep, it's Barrack Hill, the favourite, who's probably not a spoil at the price, given it's coming into an acid test, but it was so good here last start, beating War Machine, and they absolutely spaced the rest. War Machine, Frank Sat, runs third in a Silver Eagle and goes pretty close to winning it. I think it was beaten just over half a length. It's got such a likeable on-speed racing pattern. It's the horse on the up that's lightly raced for his age. I feel for Connections because what the horse has won 6 from 7 or something crazy like that, and it's like a seven-year-old. So what could have been, you know, if they'd got it to the races at 3 or 4 or whatever, who knows, but it's at least it's flying now if you're part of the journey. And I think this is a great race for it to take out. A lot of them come through the other form line, like Oscar's Fortune, etc. It was good. Kalos was the unlucky one in that race, but I don't think it gets a strong 1,200 metres. So I just could find little negatives for the others. I love A Little Deep. I didn't see it in the potential fields that Trav Noonan puts up, but now it's in the market. I'm worried that if it does go there, my confidence on Barrack Hill just wanes a little bit because I think it could be a good danger. But yeah, Barrack Hill for me and the McEwen.
Do you know any opinion on that race, or we just head to Sydney?
No, which follows Louis, who's on fire.
Yeah, just keep following the king. Just killing it. Well done, mate. Love it. Let's hope you can get some midweek mail offers as well. Just to go bang, bang. Spring Champion Stakes, going to be great. Group 1 racing, Swift Falcon, $2.80. El Castello, $4.50. Henline, $4.50. Harlem Queen, $6. Pleasure Artist, $11. Tenbury Wells, $11. Longer the rest, Dino.
Yep, I don't think it's... I think it's a rinse and repeat pretty much of the gloaming. The top three, Swift Falcon, El Castello, and Henline are the three that can win the race. All the way up Swift Falcon, I think it's a different setup now, 2,000 metres. Barriers, racing patterns, etc. don't mean... as much as they probably did last start. Where does it get it? It's by exceedance who won a Coolmore. Where does it get its sort of stayiness from? It's from the dam side. I think 2,000 metres off the back of last start. It's no issue at all. Did that on a quick backup too. So it wins the race. Is there any spoils of the price? No, I think you get the exact same price race day, so you can probably wait. But, yep, Swift Falcon on top in the Spring Champions, Lou.
I think this is the greatest each-way bet I've seen in a very, very, very long time, and that's Rag Queen at $15 and $4 a place. So,
did I even get to it when I read the odds out?
Huh?
Did I even get to it? Yeah. Is that far down?
No, I don't think you did.
That far down. I can't believe it. I honestly can't believe it. If we are going through this form line of that 1800 meter gloaming, then how is this $15? Okay, Swift Falcon goes past it at about the 200. Their last 100 meters, in my opinion, were equally as good. If that is the form line to turn the table on El Castello, then how is this horse $15? It was the first one off the bid on the turn. It is so clearly looking for 2,000 meters and likely more. This stable, they love a three-year-old over distance. He knows what he's doing with them. And I just can't really figure out why, you know. And I've been a big push on Henline. It's spaced Henline, Rag Queen, and Henline's a $4.50 chance. I don't know. Am I nuts? Am I missing something? If this is the form reference, then I just don't understand how it's a $15 chance. The other one I'd be backing is Pleasure Artist at $11 and $3, who ran second to Swift Falcon in the Dulcified. The knock is that it hasn't had that 1800 meter gloaming start, so it goes a mile straight to 2,000. But it was pretty good behind Swift Falcon, and while I understand why it's favourite for the race, I just think there's two horses here that are right up close and around it at double figures, and it just confuses me how they're not single figure chances, if I'm being honest. So
where was Rag Queen in the run, Louis? I forget.
So Rag Queen was probably just behind midfield, settled in front of Swift Falcon. Mm-hmm. Swift Falcon ran past it in the straight. Absolutely no discrediting that. But if you watch that final 100 metres after Swift Falcon had gone past and then through the line,
yeah,
Rag Queen is still picking up and coming again. So, yeah, I just think 2,000 metres, this horse is so pinnacle for it. And it's more a price thing, guys. If it was $5, yeah, I'd probably go, it's a little bit short. But $15 in that right form line is mind-boggling.
Love it. Henline for me. I think he comes out and spanks them. I think if you just draw a few lines, or Castello had run of the race stuff, like full credit, great win. No knock. Swift Falcon too far back. Henline way too far back. And I don't think they went, you know, quick enough. And I just don't think the way the race shape was from that start point was ideal. So Swift Falcon 7 day, there was intent there to win that race. It was backed as if there was strong intent there to win that race. Henline was on the drift. I don't think it was there to win the race. It was there to go around. And I think this is grand final day. $4.50. I actually think we'll get better than that. We might get $6 just purely because of the margins, and they'll just put up a bigger price. So I don't think I could tell you to like chime into it now. Maybe have half now and half on Wednesday when the market's open. But I think Henline wins this race, fellas, and I'm pretty keen to make it my best all-in play. And obviously, on that multi that we put up. And if you want to win the multi, let us know who wins the Cox Plate. Give us the top three in order in the Cox Plate and why, and you can go in to win that multi. But my tip in that multi will be Henline Dino.
I was going to say, it is the favourite for the Vars at Moonee Valley as well. I have to double-check the article. I'm just thinking top of my head.
I thought they might be going Derby, in which case they'd stay.
Yeah, which I thought they would, but it's been back in that market. So I'm just thinking out loud. you're suggesting to wait anyway. So
we're waiting anyway, yeah. So don't have half. Yeah. Just have none and wait.
Yeah.
In that article yesterday, I thought it was referenced.
I thought I read it too. But I've just seen it's backed on tab, which
be
is
interesting
scary.
That they brought it up to Sydney and said spring champion all along, and then they want to pivot back to the Valley. Mm. Anyway, hey, in the Vars?
I don't think the Valley suits it either, to be honest.
No, makes no sense. No. I think Randwick is ideal. Please, if you're listening, just go to Randwick.
Mm.
I know you're big fans of the
Anthony
show.
Sam, I beg you. Just go to Ramit, you'll win. Right, the invitation, something I didn't get to Dino's big weekend, but Alentia. Magic, got a few calls though. Magic Time, $3.50. Zoo, got your $4. Arctic Glamour, $13. Belclair, $15. Was off the map last start from about 41s, I think, into 15s. Macarena, Louis' favorite dance, 15. Roll on High, which you're doing, Louis. What do you got?
I think this is, I thought, I was confident the way I'm going to go in this race, and just taking a look at this market since I've done the notes, it's figuring that way. I thought the two bets, and maybe just one to be fair, Alentia and Magic Time, both opened 450. One's now 280 favorite and one's 350. The one I wanted to be against was Zugotcha, and it's out a half point to $4 and drifting. So the market's playing the way I thought it would go. Alentia was so good first up. You guys tipped it, I think, is your best all-in plays, or at least someone did. And it absolutely spanked them, sat last, went past like they were nailed to the fence and was eased down. We spoke about how she's a fresh horse. I don't think that necessarily falls off here second up. I think she's still got a really good second up record. She's a Group 2 winner over 1,500 metres. That was in a Chelmsford, maybe, Dior. So the rise to 1,400 is no worries. Go back to this race last year. She was deeper into the prep, started double figures and was never a chance. This time around, it's so different, fresh into it, off a big first up win, and is a deserved favourite. Magic Time's the other one, so probably wasn't going to win the Gilguy, but the margin was unfair. Likely should have been under a length, got checked across the line when they squeezed up. Second up, back to Sydney. She's a Group 1 winner here, so no worries about that. And Zoo Gotcha, well, it's always a risk taking her on, but I thought she was very, very poor last time out, albeit in a good race. Has had a trial since, which looked fine. I just think she needs the wet track, guys, to be at her best, and is unlikely to get that on Saturday with not a whole lot of rain around at this time. And then, as the market suggests, it's a pretty long tail, perhaps $13 and longer the rest. Macarena's maybe one that could bounce back. Didn't have a whole lot of luck last time out. Wide, no cover, was okay before that. But really, they're the three. And if I can rule out Zoo Gotcha, they're the two. So, yeah, I'm really keen to butter up on those top two.
Dino?
Yeah, I want to be against Alentia. I thought she was really good first up, and I liked that day. But the more I watched that run, I thought we got absolutely blessed. Coco Jambu got horses back in its lap, and there was a horse for Maddie Dale that Rachel King rode on the inside that probably should have gone close to winning the race as well. So my thinking is maybe the win looked a lot better than it was because those horses got held up. Typical of me, Wallace second up syndrome off one soft trial, that concerns me as well. And I think she got the race shape there to sort of run over the top of them. My only concern with backing her as an all-in horse would be that she's a pretty one-dimensional horse that gets back somewhat. I'd be happy to have two bet player, Magic Times, who gotcha. They're going to land up on speed. Like your Richmond, Louis, Magic Times should have finished a lot closer. Don't know what to make of Zoo Gotcha. Well, outstanding first up. It's won a Group 1 on a dry track as well and was good first up, but I agree, better horse on wet. But then you reference the first up four, just beaten by Via Sestina. Don't know what to make last start. But Waller has a bit of a knack at the minute of his horses that have been dropping out to come back and win really well in their next start. Has that trial as well. So two bet play for me to beat Alentia, Magic Time and Zoo Gotcha.
Pretty crazy, especially you mentioned it, Dino, this spring. We've always had the Waller second up theory, but it is like off map this spring. How good, then bad. It's not even just like a good, then a little drop off. It's like a good, then bad, then back to good. You saw it with Jolly Star. I hope we don't see it with Alentia for my sake. Maybe you, we hope we will. But
Lady Shenandoah was the one that bucked the trend as well. So that gives probably the punt of you yourself on Alentia as well. But yeah, it's crazy. And I think if you've got to have a firm opinion on it, which I do, and run the stats, I think you've just got to back yourself on it. That makes
Alentia
sense.
Sort of ran a little bit below her best. And like I was marked the ride up to a peak run. And she didn't quite get there. So that's probably the question mark I have on. And she did it so easy on whether or not she will regress second up. I think she might just maintain. If she maintains, is it good enough? Probably comes down to how the track players on the day and run of the race tactics. But I don't think I could take $2.80. $4.50, like, you just join that queue. And better speed, but $2.80.
You probably won't get shorter than $2.80 Saturday either. Gonna start with three or more in front of it, surely.
Yeah, unless the field sort of, you know, has turned on its head. Another thing is going to be interesting is it's 31 degrees on Wednesday. It's going to be a pretty dry day. Some stage I put some irrigation on, like dry week, I should say. Some stage there might be a bit of irrigation goes on, but we could be on a really firm surface here again. Dana might just want to check that rail position for us if you can, but
five,
you know, so there could be a chance that just making up a little bit of ground could be difficult and winds are at play. So not at all in play for me. I actually have no opinion of the race, so I'll just shut up now. The calendar Presnell, we'll go with a no 280. Big question mark for mine over the 1600. Just Party, 450 and 350. Missed the price. Got to wake up. Got to be quicker. Out off, $8. Deconstruction, $8. I'll stop there, Dino.
Yeah, no opinion, Lou. Straight to you.
Yeah, I just want to get my money back with Just Party. Over and over. I saw the race and I went, oh man. So you're right though, Gano, we've missed the price, 450. That was the gift. One more stride, half a stride more at wins. Sits a pair closer at wins. I mean, there's so many different situations in which that horse wins, but it just didn't the other day. You're right now, further distance, tick, 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 tick.
Should be favorite.
Yeah, I'm so with you, and I'm
Should be
filthy
great.
like we missed that 450. Super filthy.
Unlucky. Righto, best all-in plays of the week. Then we'll do midweek best bets. Dino, what do you got?
Cox Plate, the Protogeny is my best all-in play, Lou.
Yep, I agree with you, Dino, but for the multi-sake and for different sake, Rag Queen, I'm happy to go call it each way, call it a place, call it whatever you want, but Rag Queen and the spring champion for some result, win or place, whatever.
Don't have a best all in play, but if we're guaranteed that Henline does get there, she'll be my bet. He'll be my bet, sorry, not she. He will be my bet because I think he's primed to win this race. But as Dino just told me, maybe he's not turning up. So that makes a
You
big
know,
difference,
you
doesn't
never
it? But I
know.
do appreciate you letting us know and letting the punters know because otherwise I'd be in strife and it'd be another. We kicked off the season of this show, and I think our first two tips or first 2 weeks, the horses zigged when we thought they were zagging and it was a disaster. But we finally hit our straps anyway. So. We're back. Midweek best bets, Louis.
Yep, I'm going to take on the all-conquering Gannon combination of beer, Spriggs, mailbag in
Ridiculous.
Warwick Farm Race 4, number 8, the Godolphin runner Pisanello. Comes
Blind.
into this first up, strong first up record, two nice trials. Barrier 7. And if it's only got to beat Alicia Roma, who I'm sure Gannon owns 100% of, then we're already home, boys. Get in the queue.
Thanks, Dino.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I'm going to jump on the Lou bandwagon. That
Can't wait to
is.
get your role at Warwick Farm on Saturday.
I was going to say so. I was going to put a bet on then on something. I'm not. Yep, I'm with you, Lou. I think that I haven't. I thought this horse was going to rock up in stakes grade. Its trials, phenomenal. I think it's a proper group listed horse. So I think it turns up. And it comes into gate number, I think, 5 or 6 as well, with some the duck emergencies coming out. So, yeah, my all in play with Lou. Race 4, number 8, Warwick Farm, Pisanello.
Thanks for the support, lads. I really appreciate it. I think that you'll ride a nice second. No, he's flying. Hard to beat. But we'll turn up and give a sight, do our best. I think in race 5, number 3, Crafty Eagle, I think this horse is the best horse on this card by so far. His win was really impressive on a day. I think it was nearly 4 or 5 out of, I think it was close to 5 leaders won. He was about 3.5 lengths off them
Kenzo.
all the way till about the 200, got a split. And went bang. He's had a few issues. He carries on like a peanut in the mounting yard, a bit like Dean Watling on a Friday and Saturday night. But once he sorted himself out, and he did this time around on the Kenzo, he blew them away. I think he'd be far too good for these. The only concern that I have is how that track plays. Last time they were at this setup, it was like leader's paradise. So just be careful and see how the track plays. Don't put a single bet on until about on that horse until about race and the end of race 4. Because if you can't make up any amount of ground in the middle, I think he'll defy a pattern, but I'm not sure if he'll defy like a ridiculous 3 or 4 length disadvantage. So best horse in the on the meeting, Crafty Eagle, race 5, number 3, but make sure that it's at least playing relatively even, fellas. Anything else to add, lads?
Oh, just quickly with those international horses in the Cox Plate, before any international experts on the website formerly known as Twitter started to jump down my throat. I don't know much about international form, all right? All I could do was go and look at a few replays
These are
and see
T's
where
and
they're heading.
C's.
So before someone comes at me saying that Buckaroo's bred to run 3,200 meters or some, just everyone chill out. That's what I think, and that's all I know. If I'm wrong, well, bet against me then. That's, you know, I just because I just know something like that will happen.
Welcome of going to the new world of giving tips as opposed to hosting, Louis, because I'll come for you. And the moment you
I'm getting out of the game, boys.
you got to turn your DMs off. Righto, lads. That's all in. We'll be
right.
back. Bye for now.
There.